I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are Bell Street,
who are an events band and production company.
And we're here to talk to you about our fun and failures.
On our journey from being scared, but doing it anyway.
And today we have, as our first guests of season three, Mark and Gemma from Coda.
We've been really inspired by their journey as they've been working as a duo together, taking their music to different theatres with musical theatre, and their shows look really exciting.
Yeah. So we wanted to pick their brains really and get some tips and hear more about their story. You can look forward to such gems as...
But yeah, we always said we just wanted to do theatres.
Yeah.
And then when Mark was like, oh, I've got this idea, I was like, 100%. I would love to go back and do like theatre and sing songs of the musicals that I love.
So they came to see the show, and then the next rehearsal that we had, one person came in and went, you won't take offence, but I've bought you some. And it was, she took out this big black feather boa. And then about 2 minutes later, somebody else came in and went, I hope you don't take offence, but I've bought you something. And it was stockings and suspenders. Well, since COVID, yeah, people just haven't been coming out to live music anymore. Mm-hmm. I think they need to, it's when people put their foot in and they go, oh, actually, that wasn't too bad.
So we really hope that you enjoy listening to their story and their journey.
And the laughs are loud.
They are.
So today we are here with Jen and Mark, who are Coda.
Coda, indeed.
We are.
And we're going to have a little chat about all their plans for this year and beyond, how they found each other and where Coda started from.
Why don't you start telling us what Coda is?
Well, first of all, are they going to need subtitles when you talk?
We've got northerners that listen. It's
oh, okay, sorry, I don't mean that. So do you want to say what we...
Oh, you can say.
Me?
Yeah, go on then.
So Coda is basically a musical theatre review show. We tour the UK singing songs from all the best loved musical theatre shows and a few film shows as well, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and basically try and make some of them our own. So we do like our own arrangements of things like Bring Him Home and Music of the Night, stuff like that. And just generally try and spread a bit of a laugh out to audiences all over
musical
the
UK.
Musical
cheer.
Musical cheer, yes.
throughout the year.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I like that. Nice.
Musical cheer throughout the year.
Yeah.
So
it's...
Oh, fantastic.
Sounds hideous. I'd never go see that. Oh, wait. It's everything I love.
So, obviously, you guys aren't neighbours.
Nope.
By the sounds of things.
No.
So, how did you meet? How was Coda, the show, born?
So, it was actually Mark's idea. Mm-hmm. Genius idea. We met on a TV show a couple of years ago, and we stayed in contact, but... to be honest, when Mark messaged me and he was like, I've got this idea for this project, would you be interested? I thought, he doesn't even know who I am, honestly.
I did know who you were.
I'm still convinced he got me confused with somebody else.
I'm not
because
being...
I don't remember chatting to anyone. I was in just a world of my own, wasn't I?
Yeah, but you're not really one of those people that's hard to forget. I'm going to be honest with you. I knew exactly who you were. The worst part is that she's going, no, you don't remember me. And I've gone through we've got hundreds of photos from all together now.
You couldn't find one of me and him.
I'm trying to find them. I did actually find one the other day, and then I can't find
did
it.
Did you?
And then I found another one, but it's just the back of your head. But yes. I am determined to find a photo of you from when we did it all together.
But yeah, we met on the TV show and then we stayed in contact.
Yeah.
And then Mark was like, I've got this idea for a show. It was going to be four-piece originally. Mm. And then it just didn't happen as four-piece, did it? Because we couldn't get anyone to stay...
Well, we had
stick with us.
Yeah, we had two other people that were going to come in. We had one meeting with them. And then for one reason or another, they both weren't able to do it. So we originally thought, oh, well, maybe we'll look for some other people. Then we did...
Yeah.
We did the show at the Fringe, didn't we? At the Shaftesbury Fringe.
Yeah, that was the first one.
At the first one, and we just did it as a two-piece, and we went, actually, do you know what? We could just do this and
it
just
works,
have it like...
Yeah. There's less work, you know, not less work, but it's less conflict, you know what I mean? Like, you've got two of you, okay, like, actually, we get on really well, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
But, you know, when you've got an extra person or even a four, because I've done, like, three-piece things before, I've worked in, like, companies and that, and there can be loads of personalities to deal with, so... You're going to have to put up with me.
Well, it's the way that it tends to work, really, is if I agree with everything that Gemma says,
that's the way forward.
It means that we stay on a nice, even keel.
It's true. We should try that. You could agree with everything I say, mm-hmm. and then... No, okay.
Yeah, that look says everything, really, doesn't it?
So, yeah, that's where it started, and that was what... 2 years ago?
2 years ago we had the first meetings, yep. And then we sort of like worked through. And then the fringe before that was our first.
You're talking about the Shaftesbury Fringe.
Yeah, Shaftesbury Fringe. And we went in and we sold that one out straight away, didn't we? There was a sellout on our first show. And then from then it's just gone from strength to strength. It's been a bit sort of like weird, really, that how it's been taken on. We've sort of like got like 6 agents under our book now. We've done Warner Hotels, we've done, you know, our own touring sort of stuff. We've been asked to do loads of guest bits and pieces. It's been a bit crazy how it's sort of like come together and
just works. I think it you know, when you do a project and you probably like you guys, you're like, it just works, it fits.
Especially when people can tell that you're enjoying it as well. And you know, it's not work. It's just a bit of fun. I think that's when the audiences tend to.
It's all pretend. It's all pretend.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's good because I think one of the things that we like to do is play with the audience and have a bit of interaction with the audience. And we do a lot of stuff off script, really, don't we? And because they can see that it's all just, you know, it's very lighthearted. Is that tends to sort of like come through quite easily. And
Mark tells some awful jokes.
Excuse me, please. They are amazing jokes. Just because you don't get them,
people seem to love them.
I don't understand.
I think it's good to offset musical theatre with humour. Otherwise, it all gets a bit intense, doesn't it? And it's all a bit less fun to watch. And it's like, look what I can sing. Mm. Whereas if you're bringing in some humour to it, it helps kind of bring it all back down to earth a bit.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And I think that's what we always want to bring across in the shows. Yeah. That although we love musical theatre, you know, like I'm definitely not a typical musical theatre person. You know, I love musicals, but I'm, you know, like you, I mean, Mark's a real buff, you know. you know a lot of musical theatre, don't you?
Yeah, kind of. Up to a point, and then it sort of like disappears away from me. So the newer stuff I'm not so sure on, but more like the sort of like the Les Mis's and the Phantom of the Operas and that sort of stuff.
That's the same for me though. But you've introduced loads of new show like songs.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, like Dear Evan Hansen. Well, I haven't done it yet, but we will be doing songs from that.
Yeah, and then we're going to be doing I'm going to be doing one from Maiden Dagenham, hopefully.
Oh, you are, yeah.
So and I want to get you to do one from Kinky Boots.
Okay.
Now you know.
No.
Yeah, it's called delegation. Okay. Yeah. I can't sing about loving a bloke, so chuck it onto her.
Why not?
That's cool.
Why not? There you go.
So tell us about the tour and where you're visiting this year and a bit about this show.
So we're starting off the tour in the Robin Hood Theatre, which is Nottinghamshire, so it's Newark up on Trent.
Yep.
That's on the 15th of February. So that's the first one. Mm-hmm. And so it's split into 2 halves and it covers all music, you know, not all musicals, our favourite, really. Mm-hmm. And we've changed the show a little bit this year because last year we had a few songs that we'd done quite a lot where I think the followers that we've got now will be like, probably like, oh, come on.
But we've also kept the ones that people expect us to sing. So things like the Bring Him Homes and stuff like that, which are the ones that a lot of people sort of like would be really upset if we didn't do a Les Mis section like that, then we've kept.
Yeah, it's like, I guess the Les Mis is like our signature, like Coda.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, like Coda songs. So, but that's the first stop. That's in, 15th of February.
15th of Feb, that's right. And then we're closer to home for you guys. So we're in we're in the Shaftesbury Arts Centre on the 8th of March, which I'm a bit nervous about because it's a home crowd, but also we've got Nate coming down to watch that one as well.
And my mum and dad.
And your mum and dad as well. So it's just like, we call them the in-laws, the Coda in-laws. So, and then we go all over. Then we've got Wembley, we've got Berkshire.
Wembley!
Sheffield, Berkshire, Southampton, Stroud, Torquay, Hereford, Leicester, Tame, and then we've got I remember that all of those.
You did, because, yeah. Oh no, you are looking because I can't see. For me, it just looks blind.
No, I'm not looking at anything. I remember them all.
He's written them on his own.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then we've got a couple more which we're talking to at the moment.
Hopefully in Liverpool.
Yeah, hopefully.
We're trying to get one in Liverpool, yeah. So that'd be nice.
There's a really nice theatre up there that we've been talking to that we're trying to get in. It's just, it's dates more than anything else. It's trying to get the dates to sort of mm-hmm. like come together. And then we're looking at hopefully going back to some of the theatres that we did last year that, you know, we had good crowd reactions from, so, mm-hmm. and head over to those ones. We've just got to firm up some dates with those ones as well. So, but yeah, it all seems to be,
It's kicking off.
Fun. Yeah, exactly.
And do you find it easy to do this with the other things that you do? We've worked with you, Mark, with your wonderful Rocket Choir.
Yeah.
Do you have other bits and pieces that you're doing all at the same time as well?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's probably the same for you too, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, when looking at the theatre, everything that goes into organising a theatre tour. It's all the admin, contacting all the theatres, you know, doing the contracts alongside the other jobs that we have. Because I work as a wedding and event singer, as you know, like freelance. So that's where my other work is. And then obviously Mark's got Rocket Choir as well. So
both do a bit of voiceover work as well. Yeah, so you've got that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so
is this the first tour that you both have organised in terms of like... Yeah. Logistics.
Well, for me, I've never organised a tour or anything before.
I've toured a one act play before. So before any of this sort of like went on, and we used to do like amateur dramatic sort of stuff, or I used to do that sort of stuff. I did a play called Dear Mother, which I wrote, and then that went on to do quite well at a few like one act play festivals and stuff. So we did do like a little mini tour with that. And that was a lot more scenery and a lot more sort of like setting up as far as having to have a team with us that we needed to know what they were doing, because it was very much done on timings and the technical side. Whereas this one is more, we work with the teams within the theatres already.
Yeah.
So we give them set plans on what we want, set plans on how we want it to look. And then their team basically provides that for us with, and we go from there. And then when we go to like the bigger venues, like when we did the one, we went to Leicester to do the showcase event, didn't we?
And
you had like a full team of people there and like sound engineers and everything. That's just, that then sort of like blows our mind a little bit.
Yeah, it's lovely when that happens, isn't it?
Exactly.
There's a lot that goes into, you know, like setting up a tour, you know, and then obviously like getting everything ready and then going on the road.
Yeah.
There's so much, isn't there, that goes into it. It's but for me, I'm really enjoying it. Like it's in kind of a new thing. But I must say it is difficult because like you said, we're juggling our own job work as well. Yeah. You know, and it's finding the time to do everything.
Yeah.
And also advertising it, doing socials and all that. That in itself is a full time job.
Yeah.
Isn't
it? Well, it's finding the people that have never heard of you before, and it's trying to persuade them to come to see you and actually, you know, you come over. So things like showreels are so important, and finding the right balance on the showreel, and then also trying to find, you know, somebody that's going to do it at a good cost, because some of these things are really, really expensive to get kicking off the ground.
Yeah.
And
it's the same as
everything that you do. You could have the best of everything in the world, but it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And when you're just starting out as on a tour, when you're just starting out and you're running on a budget, there's just no way you can do it. There's just no way you can do it at all, really. So
We found with different venues as well, just trying to work out how much they're going to advertise you, how much they're putting out. You really have to make
it
that
varies
clear
so much between venues, doesn't it? Like some venues we had really pushed us, and they kind of set up interviews with press, and you could see their posts on social media, and then other venues, I mean, didn't even, we would send them like promotional stuff, we'd send like little videos especially for that venue, and you'd just be like...
Well, we had one venue, which I won't say which one it was, but we travelled up there before the actual gig to go and do a full day of marketing up there, and they were having an event, so we went... We said, we'll come up and we'll do sort of like a bit of a showcase for you to see what we were doing. And it turned out that we turned up for the showcase, and they said, oh, you can set yourself up in that corner there. And then everyone was basically, they treated us like a pub band, didn't they, really, where everyone was talking over the top, so nobody was really listening to what was going on. Then even then it was hard for us to try and get anything. So you can really, really push yourself to try and get your name out there, mm-hmm. but unless these theatres are actually coming on board and helping you,
it has to work both ways, doesn't
it?
Really?
It does.
And like some of them have been like amazing, you know, like they've put the events mm-hmm. up straight away and they're sending mail lists out to all their, you know, like their regulars mm-hmm. and they're putting Facebook events on. So some mm-hmm. of them have been really, really helpful.
Yeah, but and they, the committees really push it as well. I mean, I'm thinking of the Wall Store now. So, you know, Wall Store over at Codford, they were brilliant. When they looked at the ticket sales like 3 or 4 weeks beforehand and they're going, right, we need more. So all their committee were basically tasked with, you need to go out now and you need to go and advertise this and you need to push it. And, you know, really, you know, there are theatres out there, and again, they're run by volunteers, so they're not paid to do this, but they've got such a passion for what they do and they've got such a passion for where they want to be that they really push it out there. And, you know, yeah, that's why we want to support them as much as we possibly can. Any theatre like that, the whole thing with our tour has been that we want to support local independent theatres, because we want to make sure that that's where we feel that the grassroots of everything starts, really.
The number
of people that start in those theatres and then work their way through. So we want to be able to support them going forward. Mm-hmm. And the teams, when they support us back, is just absolutely amazing. And it works then. It really does work. It, you have that special click then.
So when you're putting your show together, what's your creative process? Or do you just kind of go, well, I like this song and I like this song and I think we should sing this song? Or do you have a kind of audience, typical kind of person in mind? Do you write for that, or do you write the story, or what? How do you collate?
No, it is basically like our favourite songs, mm-hmm. and then one of us will be like, oh, I've had this idea mm-hmm. for this song, you know, why didn't we do this duet, but we can switch it round, you know, because obviously we're male-male, a lot of the duets we do.
Yeah.
Some of the songs we've made into duets, but some of them are, you know, male-female duets, so then we're like, oh, why don't we try this, mm-hmm. play around with that. So that's generally how it works, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like, you'll message me, or I'll message you. I've had this great idea for this song, and mm-hmm. let's just see how it goes at the next... rehearsal.
It's things like Where's Wicked is so popular at the moment because
popular.
There you go. Then obviously we'll go, right, Wicked's popular at the moment, let's make sure we get a Wicked section in there. We're bound by the licensing laws. You can only do a certain amount of songs or a certain time of songs within a show like ours, otherwise we have to start paying licensing fees, and we can't do set production values or anything. So we've got such a tight thing, but we look at the sections that we want to do, and we've also got sort of like a run of how we want the show to run. So we'll start off on the softer, classically type of like the Les Mis's and the Dance All Nights and all the sort of like the more sort of like traditional musicals, and then hopefully work it up so that towards the end we're doing more of the Grease Lightnings
and
Blues Brothers we've got in there, and trying to get the audience involved and letting them singing along and dancing mm-hmm.
and they'll have had a drink then as well.
Exactly.
Well,
that's
what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Gone to the bar for a little bit and then come back ready to have a little dance.
And by that point, like, you kind of know each other as like performer and audience member. There's a rapport already, isn't there? Whereas
so
when true, you're sometimes we've definitely gone into places in this like a cold wall and you've got to kind of like find a chip to make them like you and like create some kind of energy flow or something.
Exactly. Yeah, sometimes that can be hard.
We found that with Warners when we first went with Warners. We were used to a younger audience. Then you go into a Warners and there's slightly older audience, and the way that they reacted to what the younger audiences reacted was a lot different, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think I think our audience definitely is that older,
mm-hmm.
older crowd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they like your jokes.
Well, see, I told you they're funny. They're funny. What can I say?
It is always difficult, but that's like with any gig you do, isn't it? Like sometimes you'll go into a venue and you're like, oh, I'm not getting anything back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. this is gonna be hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have had that sometimes, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
But generally, it's felt quite easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've felt like we've connected with the audience quite easily.
Yeah.
And it is like, you know, like we don't run it like a show as in like bang, bang, bang,
no.
song, song, song. We do the medleys. Like we've got a Wicked medley and we've got a Les Mis.
Phantom now as well.
We've got Phantom medley now and a Les Mis one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But generally the songs, we chat after every song, mm-hmm. you know, like just to, because otherwise I think that would just be dead boring, wouldn't it, if it just literally ran.
And we try and have a bit of banter as well. So we try to make sure that it's a bit lighthearted towards each other as well as the audience, so that the audience know that actually they can laugh at us because we're going to laugh at ourselves as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. The audience needs that. You know, they want to be in it with you. Yeah. And they want to be on your side. Mm-hmm. It's just breaking.
It's breaking that breaking the ice, isn't it? Yeah. Somehow. And
exactly.
Yeah, but usually after the first couple of songs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
So was it always your intention for it to be in theatres rather than kind of setting yourselves like as an events band or?
Is
that what you kind of exclusively do?
Yeah, that was from the get-go, wasn't it? We were like, we just want to target theatres, and you know, we'll you know, like maybe do the Warners and possibly the Warners guest acts.
What is Warners?
The Warner Hotels, and they've got them everywhere. Yeah. So they have like different guest acts and that. So yeah, we've done a few of them.
It was really weird because we were lucky. We got into Warners really, really early in the setup of us. You know, we got in there within like 7 months of us setting up, and we were walked into these venues, and it was, you know, it was all nice. But then you saw Coda, and then after that you'd see, and next is Russell Watson, and then you've got like Matt Luke. Yeah. Matt Luke, is it Matt Lucas from Bros, and you're like looking and going, our name's on that list. That's just like really weird.
Lucas in Bros.
It's not Matt Lucas, what's his name? Matt
Goss. I was confused.
Yeah, it's Matt and Luke,
Matt
isn't it?
Goss.
Matt Goss and Luke Goss, wasn't it? Yeah. That's right.
I want to see Matt Lucas.
When will I be famous?
That's a good actor. That'd
be brilliant. But yeah, we always said we just wanted to do theatres.
Yeah.
Because like I trained in musical theatre and then never wanted to go into it. I always did bands and all different solo stuff. And then when Mark was like, oh, I've got this idea, because it was Mark's idea initially, I was like, 100%. I would love to go back and do like theatre and sing songs of the musicals that I love, you know.
When it's on your terms actually, it's quite nice. Yeah. When you are actually creating something and you've got a bit of control over
Definitely. It. Definitely, yeah. And also, like, because we're not doing it every night after night, the same songs, because I think... I'd get a bit bored, I think. Yeah. So.
Well, another thing is you'd end up killing me as well. Probably. See me every night.
Yeah, I think I would.
Yeah, then you wouldn't enjoy it as much.
No. But we've done some local stuff, like around Shaftesbury and that. And we did the... Yeah. What was the place we did? The Udder Farm.
We did the Udder Farm shop for Valentine's, didn't we? And then we've done... we did the Arts Centre with Rocket. We've done the Shaftesbury Fringe a couple of times. We've done, we did the Sturminster Newton. We did the Exchange at Sturminster Newton as well.
Yeah.
That was finished off our tour last year.
Yeah. So, but other than like, that's, we've done a few little bits that are non-theatre, but the majority is theatre stuff, yeah.
And really, I mean, like theatre songs need to be sung in a theatre more than anything else. They're not the type of things that you would go to a pub and listen to.
No, although I do bang out a bit of Phantom in the pubs if I'm doing a gig.
That's true.
And I'm like, I'm just going to finish with this one
because I want to.
And you will listen to me.
I know. Yeah, we were discussing that today, actually, with musical theatre and where you know, we're always like, oh, we'd love to sing this a bit more or do this one or do that. And you're like, who wants to hear it unless you are putting it in to a set?
I know, but you know what? I think it's really surprising actually how many people were quite, because it's a bit, you know, it's different, isn't it? And they're not expecting it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
I think it's the same as everything with a set. As long as you've got it, as long as it fits in with the song that's before and after, then it works okay. If you were doing sort of like thrash metal and then go, I'm going to do Bring Them Home now, and then do thrash metal again, it doesn't kind of work. But if it all sort of like stays on the same sort of theme and the same sort of like beats per minute and the same sort of like, then you can get it in there. And there's always, you know, something you can do. I mean, like, even if it's something sort of like more upbeat, like the greases or the, you know, hairspray with, you know, you can't stop the beat, that sort of stuff, then there's always something from musical theatre that you can put in there.
Do you do that?
No,
but can't stop to breathe.
That's a great.
I do that one. Yeah, but the thing is,
if there's two of you, you can share it, so then you could breathe.
Yeah,
because that's the problem with that song, isn't it?
It's really hard.
Sing, and when do you breathe?
But so the other thing is,
tennis match.
Gemma tries to get me to dress up as in women's clothing so many times.
It sounds so wrong.
Like, yeah, but you do though every time. Literally every night so far.
During a show. No, this sounds so wrong. Gemma tries to get me to dress in woman's clothing every night.
I'll rephrase that. Gemma tries to get me into stockings and suspenders every night.
At the theatre show. Not every night.
But an audience love that.
Exactly.
Yeah. They really do.
If I go on in stockings and suspenders, then we would need to have set counsellors afterwards.
Could you just try a dress to start?
Well, it's Rocky Horror, you see. That's what we've been doing, so... Mm-hmm.
You've got some costumes for that now.
I have got some costumes for that now, yeah.
Well, that's good.
That was thanks to my choir. Ah. Yeah, so they came to see the show, and then the next rehearsal that we had, one person came in and went, I hope you won't take offence, but I've bought you something to go with the show. And I was like, right. And it was, she took out this big black feather boa. And then they go. And then about 2 minutes later, somebody else came in and went, I hope you don't take offence, but I've bought you something, and it was stockings and suspenders. So I've now got the full...
Good. Well, so just that would be a very
If you haven't bought your ticket yet, then this is what you're going to see.
Yeah, yeah. No.
This is going to be...
I hope you've got something USP on for in between those bits.
I'll have something on over the top of those bits as well, believe me.
Were you getting more costumes? Because I love a costume change. So
we do.
Yeah, do you? I love it. Any chance, I'm like, I'll change my costume.
Every time I turn around.
I got a different costume. And
that's just in rehearsal.
Yeah, that's true. I did it today. But then you started to introduce
just,
some waistcoats.
Just waistcoats and a hat.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, a man and a hat, so I've got to have different hats at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
We did a shirt fringe last year and we had just sort of thrown it together.
Yeah.
It worked. It was great. Yeah, apart from the bit where we thought we'd do this pretend striptease on stage.
Yeah.
We didn't think about doing it with our mic packs on as a dress rehearsal. So
we timed it really well.
Behind the screens. And we were like, oh, no. And the song had finished. And we were both having to do each other. So, yes, lesson learned.
Yeah. You have a dress runner and then a technical runner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Don't wing it when it comes to costumes.
No, definitely not. When we did the Stoneless one, we actually had to tie off or partition part of the backstage so that Gemma could get changed in between each one, because there just wasn't enough. There wasn't enough time for you to get to the changing.
The dressing rooms are downstairs. But so, that's normal. Like, I used to do cruise ships years ago when I first started out, and it was just constant quick changes backstage, like this, you know. So, I'm quite used to it, but. Yeah.
Well, I can beat that. I was the dame, or I've played the dame 8 times, and the number of times that I've had to get into another dress.
But well, there you go, you're used to it.
Exactly. All in a pair of high heels as well.
Oh, there, see.
That's what Gemma's doing all the time.
Well, I know.
Yes.
I know. I would never call you a dame, though. I'm going to be honest with you.
No.
I'd never... We call her the diva, but I wouldn't call her a dame.
I think it's the other way around, really, but I'll take it. I don't mind. I'll be the diva. It's fine.
I'm shooketh to the core.
Yeah, Mark made some really, because Mark makes all the merchandise and that. So we've got some mugs and we've got, you did the, what was the one you did for me? I think it was
diva.
Shine like a diva or sparkle like a diva.
Sparkle like a diamond, shine like a diva.
Something like that. Yeah. And then we've got man in the hat ones.
Man in the hat ones, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so man in the hat ones, diva ones. And then we've got like a little coda cartoon. So we have...
Mark designed that.
So we've got a little cartoon. And then we have like key rings and badges, cut tote bags.
You have those all out for sale before the show?
During and after.
So it's we were looking at sort of like getting them from somewhere else, and I looked at the price of how much other places, and I thought it's just gonna be too expensive to sell them. So I then looked at everything else and I went, ooh, I can make it myself.
And now he's got a toy shop in the house.
Basically, now my Saturdays are spent at Hobbycraft. Yeah. And I make all the... Yeah, I basically make everything. Now I've got, like, in the corner of my bedroom, there is just one whole crafting section, yeah, with mug presses and heat presses for clothes. And
you've got a badge machine.
Yeah.
Have you?
We were looking for one of those.
Every year we're like, why don't we have a badge machine?
Oh, if you want badges, let me know and I'll get some made for you. That's absolutely fine.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, and key rings, and my latest one is I've just bought a 3D printer as well. So
dollies of
both of you. That would be good.
We could do those knitted ones. You can take up knitting though.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. If you do the knitting.
Fair, no, I would. I've always wanted to try.
Yeah.
I remember my nan years ago trying to teach me to knit. But I think you need to have patience, don't you?
Yeah.
I can just imagine. Well, you make all the bracelets. So
yeah, I do. That's my contribution.
We're driving. Next time we're driving up and you're in the van, and you've just been there, knit one pole, one knit one pole. That'd be absolutely fine.
Because a lot of bands make money out of, that's how they kind of claw back their profit. Mm-hmm. In a... Do you find that helps, having merchandise? We've only got these mugs and we don't sell them yet. But
I was looking at them.
Nice.
I love them.
I can make those.
A new order coming, so...
And we've got bags. We've got... You can have a bag.
He's trying to get a job now. He's your merch, merch man.
These are our charity bags, but we did slightly over.
Oh my god, I love them.
You can have one.
Have one.
Oh, can lovely. I?
And we've got 110. There we have.
So are they bad coat ones as well?
Yeah, you have one.
So these are
the brain detergents.
Yeah,
we that's amazing. You can keep them.
Thank you.
I absolutely love bags. Bagco with the mental health charity.
Okay.
Yes.
That's so we did a cabaret in November at the Arts Centre. And we
how much did you get again?
About $5,000.
Yeah.
For them.
That's amazing. Well done.
It was good. It was really well supported, so we're really grateful. But we did over order the backs. So have one.
Nice.
You know. But you get carried away, don't you, with merch. You can definitely before it's normally with our Bell Street party and we're like, oh, and we mean to get things printed as like fun presents for like some kind of surprise pass or something. But we never do because it's January and we're just exhausted.
Yeah.
But like you can get umbrellas, you can get water bottles,
Well,
we've got the badges.
Flip flops at one point.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about flip flops. Blankets with our faces on.
And then we do have pens every now and again, but we really want those pens. You know where you turn them upside down
and the clothes come off.
Oh, that's a good idea.
No. Just no. No. No, see, you thought that I was taking the mick. See, you can see the cogs going in her head, can't you? Ooh, a dress could fall off Mark. Oh, no, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, well, we really want them. They're on our... people say, what's the ultimate dream for Bell Street? Just pens. And those heat mugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. I've got one of those, but it's the Marauder's Map from Harry Potter. Yeah. So when you pour it in, it's sort of like, you know, I solemnly swear I'm up to no good.
Yeah.
And it reveals the map when it gets hot. Yeah. I like those.
But yeah, I guess with like the at the moment all the money that we make from the merch goes back into buying, you know, like because Mark spent a lot on buying all the equipment and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, it's just going back into that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But hopefully in the future, we can start to put a little bit into our kitty as well, you know?
Yeah, it just takes time, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
I think the biggest thing really is the, which we're hoping to make sure that we get, because we haven't before, is like the CDs or USB sticks as well, because nobody has CD players these days. Mm-hmm. So like having a little album that people can listen to and be able to...
Yeah. Do you have that? Do you have, sell like songs and...
No, we got the, because we wrote a musical called Hugh the Musical.
Yeah. Which was very good. I want to see it. Yeah, it was very, very good.
We recorded that and it's on Spotify and you can stream it and download it. But we don't have like an EP. We talked about it, didn't we? Mm. We talked about a Christmas EP and we talked about just an EP. We've got some songs we want to write as well, which kind of would fit really well into our things. But it's time, it's money, it's finding it. You make so little money out of recording and selling things like CDs and things now.
Yeah.
You have to kind of weigh up what it's worth putting your money into.
Yeah.
And it's so different, isn't it, to like 15 years ago when you would have CDs and people would buy them. But I got given a CD the other day and I was like, oh, wow.
Well, my old car still has a CD player.
I don't know what I love.
And then you get in somewhere else. I'm like, oh, no, I can't play it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've got a friend, my friend Magda.
Yeah.
She's like a collector of DVDs and CDs. Mm-hmm. And like, if you go into a house, it's just like... Mm-hmm. She buys CDs. Like, if we go and see a band, she will buy, you know, like a CD, because she just collects them.
Yeah.
You know, but like the majority of people don't, like,
maybe don't we need to put everything on vinyl.
Yeah.
Vinyl, that's even more expensive.
I know, but you know, just to say that we're on vinyl.
It's funny, like, all the ways of making money for people who are creative is kind of being stripped away a little bit, because it's hard to make money on tour.
Yeah.
It's hard, but you also have to go through, like, it's really hard for theatres to make money, so they're trying to make money off you.
Exactly.
And then it's hard to make money off merchandise, it's hard to make money off CDs, so it really is about people.
No, but I agree.
People buying the tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Especially since COVID as well. Since COVID, people just haven't been coming out to live music anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's coming back. I do think it's slowly coming back.
Yeah. I think so.
I think they need to... It's when people put their foot in and they go, oh, actually, that wasn't too bad. And then they go out and... But it has been a trickle. It's not been as easy post-COVID to get an audience as it was before
and
COVID.
Our habits have changed... I think as well, like, people don't buy 3 months in advance.
No.
It's just, we've noticed from the theatres that we've worked with and, you know, working at the Arts Centre and things like that.
Yeah.
People buy in the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Which is so stressful when you say
that. Isn't it? Yeah. You're like, oh my God, sold 10 tickets. Because we always say to people, you don't know where, there is an artist at home on Refresh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Waiting for you. Oh, and then every time you buy a ticket, you can guarantee whatever you've bought a ticket to, someone is sending a message going, we sold another ticket. Yes. Oh, good.
It's so true. Are you going to check now?
Just to prove that point.
You're so right, though. Oh my gosh, point, I drive myself crazy.
I do. Yeah.
There's one.
I'm gonna look again.
And then there's the other one.
And then you'd be like, oh, someone's just bought 5 tickets. Oh my God, thank God. Exactly, and then there's a point where you can relax, because you're like, well, that show's not gonna get cancelled.
Yeah.
So we can definitely afford now to drive to this place and do this show.
Exactly.
So, and then if you do sell out in advance, and then people are like, oh.
Well, I didn't get a ticket.
Exactly. We have been telling you, please do.
Yes, so if you could all just go out and buy tickets to either one of our shows, or both,
it helps everyone sleep.
It really does. And you know, like, since we've started doing the theatre shows, when friends of mine that are in bands and that have messaged me, I've purposely been like, I'll come and I'll get a ticket because I know what it feels like now.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But we were saying that we have gone from, I was talking to Kerry from Alfred earlier. We've gone from, like, we always joke that, like, I was in Liverpool doing shows in my lounge, forcing people to watch me, or like, and then you were in Bournemouth doing shows, and like, and now we're doing the same thing, but like, just begging people to buy a ticket. You know? ringing up your dad, going, please, can you come and see my show?
Yes.
It's only £15.
And that, then you've got the thing as well, when you're actually doing it, you're trying to set the price of how much the ticket is going to actually be.
And
it's sort of like, you're having that conversation of, well, how much are normal tickets? Are we going to charge that much because we're only going to be there? You know, this is the first time there. Are we not? Is that going to be too much? And then...
Do you have a kind of policy of, like, your minimum, your maximum? You don't need to tell us it, but, like, do you...
Yeah, we do. We have like, a set, minimum price. And did we set a max? We have set a max.
Well, should there be a max?
Well, a grand a ticket.
Yes. So obviously, we expect people to spend at least £100 a ticket to come and see us. We like to make sure that we keep it accessible to as many people as possible. So we know that when we're going into theatres, we are trying to offer a slightly, because we're both trained professionals, if you like, we're offering them slightly more than just your average Joe singing. So we know that maybe it might be a little bit more, if it's not the same, it's a little bit more, but not huge amounts more than what the normal groups would be doing. But we still don't want to be charging, like, what some people are charging like 25, 30 quid a ticket, and we wouldn't want to go that high.
But to be fair, like a lot of the times the theatres have been like, usually for like a guest performance, whatever, this is a within the price range, and we just choose within that, and we tend to just go with the majority, don't we?
And that's working with the theatres as well. Because they know their audiences, they know what people are paying.
The TV show was that you met on?
So it was called All Together Now. We filmed it in 2017. It came out on the TV in 2018.
Yeah.
And the biggest names that people would recognise from it is we were judges on there along with people like Jerry Horner, Ginger Spice, with Rob Beckett, the comedian. Mm-hmm. He was on there as well. And some of the names that have come a bit further, so Davina
DeCat. Not Matt Lucas.
Not Matt Lucas, no. No. Frost didn't turn up.
No.
Davina DeCampo, who's was on Drag Race, one of the biggest drag queens in the country now, she was on there. And, the, you know, if you like your social medias, the singing dentist, people like that, you know, so it was, it was a good bunch of people, wasn't it? And... yeah, we basically were there as judges when the contestants came on. We decided whether or not we liked them or not, and then we're able to put them through. And it kind of led more so for me than you. You didn't really sort of like.
I hated it.
You didn't like it, did you? As much.
Well, I just found it all a bit overwhelming, to be honest. There was 100. You know, performers in one room at one point. That's a lot of personalities to deal with. You know, like for me, I was like, I do much better in small groups. So I was like, I find that a little bit like, you know, just a bit too much for me. And also, honestly, the reason I did it was because I wanted to pay my rent. I was like, okay, I'm getting paid this amount.
Yeah.
And then I turned up and I was just told you in the show, but what they didn't tell me was that I was a reserve, which meant that if anyone's not in from the 100, you get popped in, but you only get paid if you've put in. So the money that I thought I was guaranteed, I didn't get, and that's the only reason I did it.
Oh, that's awful.
So that really, like, it was a bit of a sting for me. So we had very different experiences on that show.
I think I came in, it's different because it was the first time that I'd actually had an experience of working in that type of environment, whereas you'd started off going to theatre school and going to dance college and going up and then doing the cruises and everything, whereas I was the kid at school that was told, don't bother with music, it's not your thing. And then sort of like got into amateur dramatics, and then when I was like 25, and they went, oh, he's all right, and then I went and did some more bits and pieces, and then I was asked to do some other stuff which was paid. And then I ended up opening a music school. And so I sort of like came up through a different way. And then when I went to the first sort of like rehearsal for All Together, and I walked into this room and there were like 100 of us all in there together. The only way that I was able to describe it to anyone was, it was like as if I was a gay bloke walking into a gay bar for the first time and going, they're all like me. I can't describe it, you know, at last I feel like I'm with my own people. And I love where I live, I love the countryside, I love being, but there's not as many creative opportunities, and there's not as many creative people, obviously present people, you know, obviously excluding, but there's not as much of a community like there is in the bigger towns like London and stuff. So when I walked in and just everyone was there, and there were a group of people with guitars singing, and people were just having it was just a massive creative atmosphere. I absolutely loved it. And then going into the green room, they had a piano in the green room, and you had like 4 or 5 people that would go and play the piano, and then somebody start playing, and then somebody else would start singing, and it was just, for me, it was awesome. And then obviously rubbing up against rubbing shoulders with you know, some really, really talented people. I mean, I got to sit, I actually got requested to go and sit next to Jerry for two of the shows. So I was sat next to her, and all of a sudden I found myself next to someone who, when I was a teenager, my brother had her poster all over. He ran out of space on the walls, so he had it on the ceiling, and I was sat next to her, just me and her singing "It's Raining Men." You know, it was just
a pinch me.
Yeah, I was like, "What the hell?" It was the only time I've ever been starstruck.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just completely different to what it was with you.
Jem was just seething in the corner, like,
I was just like,
look at that man in the hat.
But through all of this, I remembered who Gemma was. And I remembered...
Full circle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing. That isn't it funny, though, some experiences that you do? Like, I've done some cruise contracts that were just awful. Mm. But then I've still got the friends from that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, gosh, if we never did that cruise contract, mm-hmm. we would never have met. And we would never have met.
No.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we would in some other way, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be doing Coda. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was the reason why I did that show, I think. So we met so we could do Coda.
Yeah.
So think about it like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I did say, I was talking to my dad before I went in, and I did say to him, no matter what happens, whether or not, you know, you go on to the next show or whether or not, you know, the next series or whatever, the amount of contacts and the amount of networking you do within that one little bit, and then it just opens up a whole new world for you. And but there are. I mean, like, we've got so many people. In the last week, we've spoken to Nate, we've spoken to Paulus, we've spoken to... And all these are all people that we've met from the show, and they all...
Yeah.
You know, everyone feeds off each other still. It's, and, you still get a good...
Even Shanna, who's
doing Shanna's our marketing manager, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, Shanna was really big in the day. She was in a band called JX, and... Mm-hmm. What was the song that you used?
Gotta be son of a gun, gotta be son of a gun. Yeah. One of them ones. And like loads of like tunes, popper tunes.
Yeah, she's doing our marketing now. That's just really, really weird. But yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, we love them. We think they're brilliant. And they're still really good friends with so many of them.
Mm.
So many of them.
Yeah. The industry is fickle.
It is.
So you are sort of up here, down there, whatever. Mm. And I think from the amount of time when I was in London... being in front of house and auditioning, it was a very small pool, actually, because you keep bumping into the same people. And everyone's doing all the other jobs.
Yeah.
And then it is amazing who you cling on to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Networking constantly as well.
No, I agree. And it's also the type of business that it's not about what you know, it's who you know.
Mm.
So many people get into jobs not because they are the best at what they do, it's because they know so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, and they all work together. I mean, like, you just have to look at the TV shows to see, you know, there are certain artists that just work together all the time.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, and, well, same as us, you know, everything we do tend to work with people that we know. We don't go out and find other people. If we know who it's going to be...
Yeah, if you know you've got people you can rely on, you've worked with before, then you do just tend to stay, you know, within that... You're circled,
but
you?
I think some of that as well is because you do need to rely on them. You do need to, you don't want to be let down, and you know that person's going to be trustworthy.
Yeah, I think that's the hard thing, isn't it, when you're working like in a like a duo or a band or whatever, that you've got to feel like this person's got your back. You know,
there's a big amount of trust.
There's a massive amount of trust.
Well, you two must find it as well. So when you're doing anything at all, you need to know that. You can basically second guess each other.
Mm.
So when you're out on the road, or you know that somebody's got your back, or you know if something goes wrong, you know that the other person's always going to be there for you.
When you get the lyrics,
exactly.
And there's a look that we have between each other, and it's that I don't know. Yeah. And the other one has to either sweep it or the worst thing is when they go, well, I don't know either.
Our look is, we have that look, and then all of a sudden we go into mind mode. So Defying Gravity is one, isn't it? So it says cost, flying high, kiss me goodbye.
Yeah. When we have lyrics that we struggle with or that we repeatedly forget, we put a dance move in that kind of is that move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then we seem to both remember moves more than lyrics.
Yeah.
So we do just kind of like, the same with the birds. So some of our dance moves are really weird. Yeah. And they've come from us going, right, I need to remember that's that.
Yes.
So can we do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that will be like a slide.
It's a good way of doing
it. Yeah, it depends how your mind works, doesn't it?
Yeah, mine definitely works like that. I need to like link it with an action or something. Yeah. Like
pulse.
That's what I was thinking. Like pulse. My pulse is ringing. My pulse is rushing. My head is reeling.
Yeah, that's
My face is rushing. Yeah.
We do that with Time of My Life as well, isn't it? We do that one with Time of My Life.
Do you do the lift?
We do. Our version of it.
We've got our own version of it. Yeah.
Oh, come to the show when you see it.
Well, all I can say. Is it's unique.
Good.
not giving away the show too much, but
is there a hoist?
What are you trying to say? Wow. Sit down with three ladies, the next thing you know.
But is there a plan like going forward?
Is there a big dream, or do you just want to keep going what you're doing, or what's your kind of out there?
I think we want to, we do want to slowly build up to bigger theatres, don't we?
We'd like to be hitting like the six to 800s eventually.
But what we did say, like, we like the idea of the smaller theatres, and we like performing in them because it's how intimate it is. Yeah. So I don't know if we'd ever really go massive, but we would like to perhaps next year build, you know, if we can fill these theatres out this year, maybe go up a little bit next year.
I think, yeah, I think 300 is the biggest, like, venues that we've hit so far. Theatres, and that's really nice because when you have those 300 venues, you can see everyone. You can interact with everyone.
Yeah, exactly, so, yeah. Because then you feel like you can properly connect.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I guess we'll see how the tour goes this year. Hopefully it goes really well.
Yeah.
And then next year we'll hopefully book, you know, like more tour dates in.
Although you're doing Wembley Stadium.
We are too, Wembley Stadium.
With Ross.
Full of help for that. So just one last time for our local listeners.
And far and wide.
Give them the date and the place of and when people can get tickets.
So for Shaftesbury Arts Centre, if you're local to Shaftesbury, it's on the 8th of March. You can get tickets from the Shaftesbury Arts Centre box office, or you can go onto our website, which is www.musicalcoda.com, and it's got a list of all the theatres that we're going to be performing at from there. And we'll also have all the updated theatres as well, going through that one as well.
Mm-hmm. And so, assuming you're on social media. Oh, you're on TikTok.
We're on TikTok now.
We're on TikTok. We're giving TikTok a go.
We're talking
we followed
the tick.
Each other.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yeah, we're Coda Musicals. So our socials are Coda Musicals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. And YouTube.
Oh, yeah. And YouTube.
And we're on YouTube as well.
Quite often ask people.
Oh no.
just briefly.
By the way.
You know, the podcast is about just doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And both of you have been, from what it sounds like, within the industry in some way or another forever.
Yeah.
And which is always brave to be relying on it as well.
So
if someone was out there wanting to give it a go, go into it, do something creative, not necessarily performing, would your advice be?
You know what my advice would be is if they're thinking about, oh, you know what, I really want a job in work in the creative arts. If that's what you really want to do, like deep down, don't ask your mom or dad, or don't say to your friend, what do you think about this? Because nobody's going to give you the answer that you really want to hear. I think you've just got to trust that your gut. If that's what you want to do, you just do it. You try it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you can do is try. And I always think, like, if I'm working on, like, different projects, and, you know, sometimes you don't want to launch something because you're like, oh, God, you know, you're thinking, oh, my God, I'm sitting on this for ages. Do it imperfectly. Like, don't just do it anyway, because who knows?
You'll
it's better to be
perfect.
Out there than just sitting at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say follow your gut and just go for it.
Mm-hmm. I think Jim Carrey said it best. You can fail at anything you do in life, so you might as well fail at something that you really want to do. Because I'm not going to lie, it's hard work. It's not just the flouncy singing side of it. There's so much other stuff that goes into it. But at the end of the day, if you are the type of person that is a creative and it's what you love to do, it is the best job in the world. And it's one of those jobs that, you know, yes, you've got to pay the bills and everything, but you wouldn't just give it up for anything. The worst thing you could do is in 30 years' time to be sat back going, I just wish I had. So what's stopping you from going and just getting on and doing it? Because otherwise, you are just going to regret it. And there's no point in regretting it.
That's great advice.
Thank you very much.
We'll tag Jim Carrey.
Yes, please do.
So we've got our tickets.
We have. We are really looking forward to seeing it. And make sure that you get yours.
And meanwhile, whatever your creative project is, don't let fear get in the way. Do it imperfectly.
Just
do it anyway.
Everyone have a slurp.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree with everything you say.
No, that's what they used to do. Jackson in a box. Do you not remember that one?
No.
I'm not doing a brass era.
They did, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I think I know.
Yeah, they did that one, and then yeah,
which is the other one?
Chocolate in a Box was the other one.
I think you should make that one.
No, because then they used to have this right through the middle of it.
This is for the bloopers at the